All rise. Hear ye, hear ye, hear ye. The Honorable Supreme Court of Ohio is now in session pursuant to adjournment. Mr. Commissioner Robert Mayer presiding.
Please be seated. The first case to be heard this morning is number 2009-1763. Vandalia Butler City Schools Board of Education versus Montgomery County Board of Revision. Ms. Fox for the appellant.
If it please the court, my name is Carol Fox. I am here on behalf of the Vandalia Butler Board of Education. I would like to request 5 minutes for rebuttal, please. The case we have before the court today involves a decision by the Board of Tax Appeals that contains two substantial legal errors. Specifically, the Board of Tax Appeals unlawfully placed the burden of proof upon the Board of Education in this case, and secondly, the Board of Tax Appeals unlawfully presumed that the Board of Revision decision was correct. And in making that presumption, or rather based that presumption on the sole fact that the auditor's representative or the auditor himself voted in favor of the Board of Revision decision.
Didn't the BTA make a sort of a finding about the sufficiency of the evidence at the BOR for changing
We don't believe it did. We believe that the Board of Tax Appeals decision in this case is internally inconsistent based on the improper presumptions, and the specific language that tells us that can be found on page 7 on the decision wherein the BTA says, the question for us becomes what constitutes sufficient evidence to justify a reduction in value. In the instant record, there is limited evidence to support the valuation adopted by the Board of Revision. We have previously rejected such evidence as not being competent and probative of value. However, the BOR saw fit to reduce the subject's valuation. While not to the value opined by the property owner, but to a value lower than that which the auditor had determined, arguably, the auditor must have conceded to the reduced valuation for the subject, since there is no indication in the record that the auditor attempted to defend and or maintain the auditor's original valuation. That's the basis for their decision. There's nothing in the record that says the auditor didn't attempt to defend or maintain the auditor's original valuation. There's nothing in the record with regard to that issue. The Board of Tax Appeals is assuming and presuming that the auditor didn't do that.
Does the record reflect, and I haven't looked at the BOR piece of it, did the auditor's delegate vote for reduction in value? Or?
I'm not sure that the record specifically indicates how the particular members voted. We would contend, however, that is irrelevant. That this court has determined in several cases, as we've cited in our brief, that the auditor does not have a duty or an obligation to defend its value. And the mere fact that a Board of Revision grants a reduction does not in any way create some sort of presumption that the auditor's original value was wrong. In fact, this court has said the exact opposite on numerous occasions. For example, in the case of, Colonial Village, this board said, this court said the Board of Revision should not be accorded a presumption of validity. Likewise, in Columbus Board of Education, cited in our brief, in this case, the BTA yielded its independent role to the Board of Revision. The BTA stated that although, again, the proof is not conclusive, it was apparently sufficient to convince the Board of Revision. That is exactly the same type of language that the Board of Tax Appeals used in this case. They did not make a finding that the evidence was sufficient or credible or probative. They simply said, because the Board of Revision reduced the value, the Board of Revision must have found it to be credible. And therefore, on that basis alone, it is presumed to be correct. Exactly an opposite of what this court has said. In the Amsdale case, this court said, as a result of the BTA's presumption of validity, its decision was internally consistent. We have that exact same inconsistency here. We have quoted in our, or I'm sorry, argued in our brief that the problem with this case is that it creates a very dangerous precedent, and that it for several reasons. First of all, it gives one of the three board members apparently more power than the other two. Regardless of how the other two vote, that may or may not create a presumption. But if the auditor votes in favor of a change, that creates a presumption. There's nothing in the law to support that distinction that this case makes. In the second Colonial Village case, this court specifically said auditors do not have a burden of proving the accuracy of their original values. This case is in direct contradiction of that. With regard to the burden placed on the Board of Education, if you look at page 5 of the Board of Tax Appeals decision, they specifically state that the Board of Education presented no evidence contradicting the loss of income suffered by the property or the adjustments made by the Board of Revision. Without some evidence or argument, this board is unable to make a substantive change in value. Therefore, they've placed a burden on the Board of Education in order to present evidence to show that the Board of Revision decision is incorrect. Again, this court has specifically said that that is not true. A Board of Education can meet its burden of proof before the BTA by simply cross-examining witnesses or showing that the Board of Revision erred in reducing the value from the amount first determined by the auditor. And that burden can be met through legal argument.
What was the evidence presented at the Board of Revision again?
The evidence at the Board of Revision was fairly sparse. There was the testimony of a member of the LLC. I'm going to make sure I got this correct. The corporate owner, the president of the corporate owner, Mr. Patel, he testified at the Board of Revision. That creates a problem in and of itself, too, as to whether or not Mr. Patel constituted an owner, somebody who was able to testify with regard to the actual value. We contend, as we argued in our brief, that he was not an owner. Nonetheless, he did discuss some of the things, problems with the property. He discussed in generally problems with income, but he presented nothing to substantiate his arguments. There was no documentary evidence showing income and expenses, how they had changed over the years. There was no evidence as with respect to any actual listings. There was no documentation showing that the property had been listed for sale. There was no documentary evidence showing that there had been any type of an offer or a contract to sell. It was all Mr. Patel's testimony. He did also try to present an appraisal report, which was objected to. The appraiser was not there. There were several problems with this report. That report was not included in the statutory transcript. Because of the sparseness of the transcript, it's unclear whether or not the Board of Revision placed any weight or reliance upon that appraisal. Unfortunately, what the Board of Tax Appeals had to look at really consisted of some notes that were made by the Board of Revision. and some property record cards. We have no indication or evidence of when those notes were made, what the basis was for those notes, who made those notes. There was not a transcript or a recording of the hearing included in the statutory transcript. So it was problematic with respect to the record that is in this case. That, however, should not create a presumption that the Board of Revision acted properly. The Board of Tax Appeals, specifically in its decision, went through all of the evidence that it found, within the record. And it stated this was limited. This was the type of evidence that we reject. This is not the type of evidence that the board typically says is sufficient. It did not say this was sufficient. It did not say this was probative. That's exactly what the Board of Tax Appeals was required to do. Instead, it said, we typically reject this type of evidence, but since the Board of Revision reduced the value, and since the auditor appears to have voted for that reduction, we are presuming that that is a correct decision. I will save the rest of my time. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Fox. Ms. Mariani?
Yes.
Okay.
Thank you. May it please the court, counsel. I'm Laura Mariani. I am here on behalf of the Montgomery County Auditor and Board of Revision. This appeal involves two basic issues. The first being whether the Board of Education met its burden of demonstrating that the auditor's value was the correct value. The second issue is whether the Board of Revision's decision was based on sufficient, competent, and probative evidence that was in the record. And I submit to you that the Board of Education did not meet its burden of demonstrating value. And second, that the record does contain sufficient probative evidence to support the decision that was reached by the Board of Revision, and would therefore ask that the BTA's decision be affirmed. The Board of Education did, in fact, have the burden of proof in its appeal to the Board of Tax Appeals. It is clear that the appellant to the Board of Tax Appeals does have the burden to present evidence to demonstrate its requested value. The Board of Education did not present any evidence, either before the Board of Revision or before the Board of Tax Appeals. The Board of Education presented argument contra the property owner's evidence, but did not present any independent evidence upon which the Board of Tax Appeals could determine whether the auditor's value was correct.
But the and the essence of their argument is that the evidence at the Board of Revision was not sufficient to justify the change in value.
Right, but the evidence was sufficient to support it.
Okay.
This court issued a decision in Dayton Montgomery County Port Authority, which changed. Before Port Authority, if the property owner before the Board of Revision failed to demonstrate its right to its value requested, the Board of Revision could then revert back to the auditor's value. However, the Port Authority case said that when there is evidence in the record that contradicts the auditor's value, there cannot be an automatic deferral to the auditor. The Board of Tax Appeals then needs to look at everything in the record to determine, independently determine the value. And that's what happened in this case. The property owner did present evidence to the Board of Revision. And while that evidence may not have been enough to meet the property owner's burden, evidenced by the fact the Board of Revision did not adopt the taxpayer's requested burden. But he did provide some evidence that contradicted the auditor's value, and that prohibited.
And remind me what that evidence is.
Well, the owner's testimony. There was also the property record cards that were part of the statutory transcript. There were some handwritten notes on the property record cards that changed some of the calculations in the various appraisal methods. And there was also a notation by the Board of Revision that the change was per CLT's review and recommendation. And CLT is the appraisal firm that the county contracts with in performing its appraisals. And the BTA found that that evidence was consistent with the property owner's testimony. Even though the property owner's testimony by itself was not supported by anything that the owner presented, that it was consistent with the other evidence in the record. That evidence was all contained in the statutory transcript, and there was no additional evidence presented at the Board of Tax Appeals.
So Mr. Patel's testimony was in the nature of the income experience of the property? Or?
It was increased vacancy and increased expenses and things in that nature.
So it's significant. It's significant in your view that you mentioned that the county's own appraisal consultant. Is it a consultant or employee or?
Yes, it's a consulting firm. Yes.
Reviewed this evidence and made a recommendation then to the BOR.
Correct. And that is consistent with what the BOR concluded, and somewhat consistent with what the property owner had testified to. But again, without accepting the property owner's value, but in finding a value that was in between what the auditor had found and what the property owner had argued. Now,
but nobody from the county's consulting firm appeared at the BOR hearing. Is that correct, or?
I don't know. I do not have a transcript of that hearing, so I cannot answer that question. That does not appear in the record. However, once that finding is made, then it is incumbent on the Board of Education, who is asking the BTA to revert to the auditor's value, to rebut the evidence in the record, and to also demonstrate why the auditor's value was correct. And the Board of Education failed to do that. And it was, in fact, incumbent on them to do that. And again, under the Port Authority case, any evidence that is in the record before the BTA, which contradicts the auditor's value in whole or in part, then triggers the BTA's independent review of the record. And in this case, it did conduct that independent review, did delineate the evidence that it found that was present in the record, did state that typically such evidence in the past would not be probative of value. However, since the Port Authority case, they can't just then go back to the auditor's value. So then they had to make a finding of value in that case. And since there was no evidence in the record to support the auditor's value, then they were stuck with what the Board of Revision decided.
Of course, there's that second Colonial Village case tried to extend that analysis further, didn't it, and talked about if there's evidence that is contra the auditor's valuation, then the BTA has to determine whether there's enough evidence in the record to make an independent. And your contention is that there was.
I believe that they did. It may not have been artfully phrased, but I believe that they did make that finding. Previously, we have rejected this evidence. However, in this case, and they made a finding that it did fall within the range between the auditor's value and the property owner's value, that there was, you know, evidence from the property owner, property record cards, notations on the cards, notes from the Board of Revision that did support that value.
What about this appraisal that was presented? Was that relied on by the BOR or?
Well, the appraisal was not contained in the record, is not referenced in the record. I don't believe that it was. But, you know, again, it's not part of the record.
No.
Okay. So for those reasons, then, I would ask this court to find that the Board of Education failed to meet its burden to prove that the auditor's value was, in fact, the correct value, and to also find that the Board of Tax Appeals properly reviewed the record, reviewed the evidence, independently weighed the evidence, as it is required to do, and did find that the Board of Revision value was correct and appropriate. And I'd ask this court, then, to affirm that decision.
Thank you, Ms. Mariani.
Thank you.
Ms. Fox, you've reserved 4 minutes and 31 seconds.
Thank you. We would again contend that the Board of Education did not have a duty to present independent evidence at the before the Board of Tax Appeals. We had a duty simply to make sufficient legal arguments demonstrating that the decision made by the Board of Revision was inadequately supported by sufficient probative evidence to justify the reduction that was granted. And we believe that we sufficiently made those arguments. Just to clarify a few things, the BTA did not make a finding, as I said already, that there was sufficient evidence. The BTA did talk about the testimony of the property owner, and the BTA did talk about the, again, cryptic notes that were contained on the property record cards and their own notes. There was no appraisal contained in the statutory transcript. There was no appraisal done by the county. There was not even, as far as I know, any sort of economic analysis or figuring done that are calculations that would clearly show on what the Board of Revision based its number. Perhaps it did review with CLT. We don't know. We don't know if it happened before, during, or after the hearing. We don't know what that CLT
and
review
and
provided.
And there's no transcription or tape of the colloquy
nothing.
Of the BOR.
And we don't know what that review included. Did they, in fact, appraise the property? Did they, in fact, reappraise the property after or before or, you know, during the BOR hearing? We don't know. There's nothing in there that says that. There's nothing in there that demonstrates that. The Board of Tax Appeals' specific language, again, is that this is the type of evidence they have rejected. They did not then say, however, in this case, we find it to be probative. Instead, they said, however, the BOR saw fit to reduce the subject's valuation. Incorrect and unlawful presumption on that basis alone that the Board of Revision acted properly simply because it gave a reduction. Now that turns the law on its head and creates an undue burden on every Board of Education in this state, because every time a Board of Revision now grants a reduction, regardless of whether or not the evidence it bases it on is probative or in any way sufficient, that language alone allows the Board of Tax Appeals to say, well, they granted a reduction, so there must have been a reason for it. We're going to presume it's okay. And that's exactly what this court has said is not okay. That's all I have. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Fox. This case will be submitted, and the court will advise the parties of its decision.